In our quest to overcome this world and become a member of God's family, there's one attribute that leads us in unity and love. Just one. Think about what personal attribute you can obtain from God that will bring all the benefits I'm going to list. So give me 1 minute and I'll list those benefits for you. I got a long list, but I'm going to go through it very fast. It protects you with a shield. It guards your paths. It preserves your ways. It gives understanding of righteousness, justice, equity, and every good plan. It gives discretion that preserves you. It helps you walk in the way of goodness. It makes you dwell and remain in the land. It makes you happy. It gives you lengths of days. It gives you riches and honor. It gives life and salvation. It gives peace. It gives grace. It helps your foot not to stumble. It makes you not afraid. And it gives you sweet sleep. These things all sound great, don't they? Don't you wish you had all of those? How many do you think you have now? The it is referred to, that I'm referring to here, is a treasure more precious than jewels, silver, and gold. What is it? What is it? She got it. Wisdom. Wisdom. Today we're going to talk about the value of wisdom and the what, where, and how to get wisdom. Very good. When the astute people in this audience. Okay. First we're going to start with the what is wisdom, and it may not be what you typically would think. A common definition that we would typically think it would be that a person who had a life with a wealth of experience, and that wealth of experience gives wisdom. Webster's dictionary says wisdom is the ability to discern inner qualities and judgment, or just insight. Or, B, good sense or judgment. C, generally accepted belief challenges what has become accepted as wisdom among many historians. D, accumulated philosophical or scientific learning or knowledge. Second definition is a wise attitude, belief, or course of action. The third definition is the teachings of an ancient wise man. Wisdom in our Bible is the Hebrew word chokmah, Strong's H2451. As used in Proverbs, it's usually referring to the wisdom in daily living. In the New Testament, the Greek word sophia is Strong's G4678 and refers usually to the spiritual or intellectual capacity of human beings. When you read through all the scriptures on wisdom and you really do some biblical research, you can kind of come to this ideal biblical definition. So as we go forward, I think you'll see that we're going to put the legs to this so you can understand it. Wisdom is the application of spiritual knowledge from above, influencing your heart to reflect Jesus Christ in the actions of your daily living below. Let me read that to you again. Wisdom is the application of spiritual knowledge from above, influencing your heart to reflect Jesus Christ in the actions of your daily living below. Here's a key observation that you have to be aware of. Spiritual knowledge, not taken to heart and not applied, is worthless. Absolutely worthless. The person has to revere and honor God with his or her heart and apply what they learn in their daily lives. The Bible describes two distinct types of wisdom. And it's important to remember these two types, so we're going to go into a little detail on that. Please turn with me to James 3. In James, we're going to see there are two types of wisdom. And it's in front of us every day, especially the people in this room. It's in front of us every day, and so we need to be able to discern the difference between the two types of wisdom. James 3, verses 13 through 17. My Bible has in it the title, Heavenly versus Demonic Wisdom. Verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness, in the meekness of wisdom. 14. But if you have bitter envy or self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking, and again I want to underline, and throughout this entire sermon I want to underline self. Self-seeking exists. Confusion and every evil thing are there. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Wisdom comes from above. God is eternal, and he knows the way to life. Man's wisdom is limited and leads eventually to death. So we are to go to God for wisdom because that is where life and wisdom is. It's very easy for people to show wisdom, but the source of that wisdom may be human or demonic. We have to be aware of it and be able to discern the difference. I'll give you a really good example here in the Bible. The Pharisees gave us a very good case in point, and Jesus Christ called them on it. Please turn with me to Matthew 23. The Pharisees have a way of externalizing their religion and then keeping their personal shine looking beautiful so that they all look righteous on the outside. But on the inside, Jesus had a few things to say. Matthew 23, verses 5 through 7. Verse 5. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at the feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. See, they've externalized their religion. We have to be careful so we don't do the same thing. These men were very educated, and obviously they had great scriptural knowledge, being Pharisees, but their hearts externalized their religion and loved it that way. Who are they pleasing? Their own hearts or Jesus Christ? No wonder they couldn't see the Savior of the world standing right in front of them. They were looking at their own hearts the whole time. And then in Matthew 23, you're already there. Please drop down to verse 25 to 28. And here's what Jesus had to say. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self, again self, that word, indulgent. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you are also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. To understand it a little better, I'm going to take another scripture, but first I'm going to say the source of their religion was from the spirit of man, not the spirit of God. Not the spirit of God from above either. Because their hearts were of men, not affected by the spirit from above, they just closed it out. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2. going to see that the Bible defines for us a little clearer what's going on here so that we can understand it. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. We're going to see the difference between a spiritual man and a natural man. 1 Corinthians 2:13, these things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. We need to have God's Spirit in us to discern it. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The source of the Spirit of wisdom in us and the source of the Spirit in us is from Jesus Christ. How do we get wisdom then? There are two basic ways for us to gain wisdom. Both are through God though. First, from asking God and from the Scriptures. And then wisdom comes through His Holy Spirit in us. Let's turn to James 1. And we'll learn about where to get wisdom. James 1, verses 5 through 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith and with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Our hearts have to be tuned to Jesus Christ and to the Bible and to the Scripture and the Word that's in our hands in front of us. Our hearts need to be turned to that. Be careful to internalize the spiritual knowledge from above. We have to have our hearts internalize it to address the intents of our hearts. Don't let the Pharisaical external practices, emotional releases, self-projection, or self-sacrifice tell your heart you are holy. You're not when you do those things. And remember the operative word that I told you before? All those things were about self, weren't they? It's not about us. It's about the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ working through us. So that is what wisdom is, applying spiritual knowledge through Jesus Christ and God's Word to be one of one mind with Jesus Christ and His people serving Him. It's well worth it to look deep inside yourself, following where your heart's intents come from, to determine if their source is from self or from above. The rewards are huge, as we discussed at the beginning of the sermon. And you can read up on those rewards by reading Proverbs 2, 1 through 22 after the sermon or at home. Study the value of wisdom. It's very important. There's a lot of benefits to having wisdom and to having our minds set right so that we can be receiving God's Word and God, through His Spirit, receiving Him and communing with Him on it. Please turn with me to Proverbs 3. A few Proverbs to add to the understanding we have of wisdom. Proverbs 3, verse 13, please. Happy is the man who finds wisdom is the title that's in my Bible. Verse 1, and the man who gains understanding for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare to her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. We need to really respect, honor, seek out, cry out for wisdom from God. Let it dominate our lives so that he can do his good work in us. Proverbs 3, we were there already. Verse 23 through 26, then, just dropped down a few verses. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked one when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and will keep your foot from being caught. Wisdom is the treasure that delivers you from evil. It is a treasure that we need to be seeking, gathering, and growing. It delivers us from evil, keeps our path straight, protects us, it does all sorts of things for us. And we should do it together, all of us, together as a congregation. As such, after services today, I would like for each of us to just find one person that you don't know much about in our congregation and ask them, how did they get called? What was their calling? What brought them to God's truth? And just learn a little bit about these people that you may not know too much about within the congregation. See if we can do that, just for education's sake, for a little fun. Colossians 2, verses 2 through 3. We're doing this all chasing wisdom, trying to understand things and understand people, understand ourselves, understand our hearts. Colossians 2 through 3. We're doing it that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is a treasure indeed. Let's see what Solomon asked for and what God promised him. 2 Chronicles 1. In 2 Chronicles, Solomon is speaking to God. He had already been coached by his father, and obviously he had a good mindset. 2 Chronicles 1, verses 8 through 12. And Solomon said to God, "You have shown great mercy to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to my David, my father, be established for you. Have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth and multitude too. Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. Who can judge this great people of yours?" That's what he asked for. It sounded like a pretty humble attitude to me. And I think he really had a good understanding of where he needed to be as being put in place by God. His father must have coached him very well. Then in verse 11, "Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart," things like this have to be in our hearts, "and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked for long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. We know Solomon was the wisest and wealthiest of all. There are many more wisdom resources on the church website. Just wanted to kind of let you know that this is only touching the surface when I'm giving you today. There's a lot of material there. It's a big topic. And rightfully so. You see, we are part of God's family. And when we live His way and humbly ask for understanding and wisdom to direct our paths like Solomon did, God will guide and protect us and protect our path. And we can have comfort and faith that He's keeping us from harm and He will provide for us. We have to grow our relationship with Him and have faith that He's there with us, helping us along the way. It's extremely important to build that kind of relationship in your mind and in your heart to counteract the influences of the world today, which tries to tell you there's nothing to trust in except for money and power. I'm going to refer to this scripture, but I'm going to read it to you a little differently than probably it's written, but I'm going to refer to it, Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 6. This is the main scripture for this sermon. It's the value of wisdom. And I'm going to highlight some things in the very beginning of this proverb. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, treasure and love God and His word and His commands within you, so that you incline your ear to the wisdom, that you can actually hear it and understand it, and then apply your heart to understanding it. Not understanding how to get riches in this world or get yourself safe in this world, understand how to hear God's word in you and His Spirit working within you, and your heart understanding how He works and how the relationship is He wants you to have with Him as part of His family. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, tonight in your prayers, tomorrow in your prayers, when you meditate, as Mr. Spirey brought up, meditation, cry out for discernment and understanding. Seek wisdom as silver and search for her as hidden treasures. Then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. One last scripture I'm going to read to you, just a closing scripture here. And just write down the reference here is Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. As a congregation, as children of God, as part of His family. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We want to be filled with all the fullness of God. We want to be filled with all that Jesus Christ has to offer. We want to trust and love and grow in relationship with Him and let Him rule our hearts and our lives. So let our humble hearts and trust and love for our God rein in ourselves, for He is awesome.